Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. Hey, happy feast day, St. Cornelius and St. Cyprian, the feast day of both those great saints. Pray for us. Also, this is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows. Pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. We've got a very relevant show about a lot of things that are happening right now, namely Black Lives Matter. And we're going to take a look at what's going on with that movement from a spiritual from the spiritual lenses. And I just want to welcome Dan Schneider, our resident expert on spiritual warfare. Hey, welcome, Dan.
Hey, Jesse. I'm 10-8 for Jesus, man. Ready to go.
10-8 for Jesus, on duty. We just got to plow forward, come what may. Yeah. Okay, we're going to put on a small little clip, and we're going to hear two of the leaders from Black Lives Matter in their own words and the way they're completely connected with witchcraft, and then we'll give you a Catholic analysis. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Do witches run Black Lives Matter?
And maybe I'm sharing too much, but we become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly, right? Like, each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Waukesha, you know, and I didn't meet her in her body, right? Yeah. I met her through this work.
It's a very important practice. Hashtags are, for us, are way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. I started to feel,
you know,
personally,
I did meet her in her
connected
body,
and respectful, right, and accountable to that.
It's
very from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply
hashtag
spiritual place. And
more than a hashtag,
always, you know, and my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who passed away
would want, you know,
whether it's like honey or tobacco, things like that.
And
that's, it's so important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who've passed, but also for them to know that we've remembered them. I believe so many of them work through us.
Black Lives Matter is ran by three witches who are lesbian witches: Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi. She's of Nigerian descent. They're all three are part of the Black Boule Secret Society, and there are witches, they're warlocks, and the entire spiritual dogma or doctrine of Black Lives Matter is from the West African religion called Odu Ifa, capital ODU, then spacing capital IFA. Over 3,000 different religions in Africa, or Akibalon, is rooted in witchcraft and divination.
I feel like in our traditional practice, traditions from West African places, one of the big to remember your ancestors. And I feel like part of the story in the building of BLM was about remembering. And remembering our people, not based off of a white supremacist memory, which would be about, you know, slandering
right
them,
there,
putting their names in the newspaper, and showing their mugshots.
Richard, can you... Yeah. Hey, Dan, I think you're going to have to turn off your computer or your speaker, because we're getting the feedback from your speaker through through social media. So, Dan, if you could just, I guess, turn off your speaker so that we can just finish playing this off, and then we'll comment on it, because this is too good for the audience needs to hear this. Okay. Rich, let's try it again. I think Dan...
But instead, remembering them from the place that their mothers and their fathers and their family would want us to remember them in, even if we didn't know them personally.
So these three witches, Alicia Garza, Opal Tometi, okay, and Patrice Cullors, are using the psyop of the witchcraft religion of Odu Ifa, which concentrates on six 13 points of demonic possession and demonic influence through demonic performance of what? Libations. Because the term libation means the liquid of darkness.
When we come out into the streets and we pray, you know, the first thing that we do when we hear of a murder is we come out, we pray, we pour a libation, we build with the community where the person's life was stolen. And it took almost a year for me to realize that this movement is much more than a racial and social justice movement. At its core, it's a spiritual movement, because we're literally standing on spilled blood, right?
Yeah.
And you can't pretend like that's work that's just like some organizing work. That's, you know, that's some serious stuff, right?
They give libations, they pour liquid, what they say, unto the gods of Africa. It's all built on witchcraft.
When we say the names, right? So we speak their names, we say her name, say their names, we do that all the time, that you kind of invoke that spirit, and then those spirits actually become present with you, right?
So then, Black Lives Matter has 16 chapters in the United States and in Canada, which each chapter represents a name of a god or goddess in the Ifu religion called Odu Ifu, which has 16 points, 16 chapters of demonic possession. Black Lives Matter, they're operating through both omnikinesis and telekinesis. It's witchcraft. Wherever they go to create mayhem and destruction, they send witches, and every satellite head, every person of these 16 chapters of Black Lives Matter, they are a witch and a warlock. So with Black Lives Matter, they have molded themselves after a serpentine psychology. All three of these women are witches. They're warlocks.
Spirituality is at the center of Black Lives Matter. And I think that's not just for us. I feel like so many leaders and so many organizers are deeply engaged in a pretty important spiritual practice. I don't think I could do this work without that. I don't think I could do it as long as I've done it and as consistently. It feels like if I didn't do that, it would be antithetical to this work.
To defeat Black Lives Matter, to defeat the ANC, you can't defeat these organizations through the barrel of a gun. You can only defeat the ANC and Black Lives Matter through spiritual warfare.
Dan Schneider, there's a lot here, and there's a lot more than meets the eye, especially if you look at this video. If you see this video, and this is something you don't see in the mainstream media, every time Black Lives Matter goes out to commit chaos and anarchy, there's a witch, and the person's dressed like a witch, and they got wings on, and they're doing hexes and what they call prayers and incantations as the people are rioting and creating anarchy. That's something the mainstream media doesn't show you. You have to watch it in this Instagram video where you can see that's one of the things that they do. But Dan, there's a complete nexus here between the Marxist political and witchcraft, which, once again, they're appealing to the occult for all this, for the power to commit all this anarchy and violence. Dan, how dangerous is this?
Yeah, well, it's obviously we're seeing the fruits of it. There's a principle, in Catholic theology, spirituality, that prayer begets what it signifies. And so ask, Jesus says, and you shall receive. So this truism does not only apply to Christianity, it also applies to other religions as well, including the dark religions and occultic practices. So yeah, they're channeling, they're practicing astral projection, they're summoning up dark forces to pour into a particular society or culture or city, and we're seeing that this actually works.
Yeah, here's some of the things that. By the way, I think it was narrated by a Protestant pastor, a black Protestant pastor. and he was talking about the leadership of Black Lives Matter. And again, they're not even hiding it at this point. Patricia Cullors, Alicia Garza, Opel Tometi, they're all openly Marxist, communist. They're also lesbians. And they're also demonstrating that they're completely using not just political machinations, but they're using the spiritual. It's not just a civil rights organization. It reminds me of what the Bible says in the 1 John chapter 4. It says, test everything to see if it comes from God. This organization and what they're appealing to, they're calling on the dark arts. They're calling on spirits. I mean, come on, there's only two types of spirits. You either have angels or demons. And so when they're talking about that, they're calling spirits. They're not calling the Holy Spirit. They're not calling their guardian angel. These leaders admit that they call these spirits as an important part of the work at BLM. And we know what St. Paul calls them. He says, these pagans that call these spirits, he says, they're calling demons. Dan, we're going to go on to the next segment. I want you to talk about the danger of people conjuring evil spirits. I want you to talk about the danger of libation, these occultic practices being practiced here in America, right in front of our police stations, in the ground where people have died. Is this some type of a diabolical liturgy that's going on? We'll ask Dr. Dan Schneider about the inner workings of witchcraft. We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, we're 10-8 for Jesus. We're looking at the nexus between the occult and Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter implements witchcraft. In the words of one of the three founders of Black Lives Matter, they say, "We resurrect a spirit so that it can work through us." That's obviously a demonic spirit. They say we feel personally connected and accountable to these spirits. Okay, these are not angels they're calling. These are demons. This is more than political, Dan. It's spiritual. And they also say that these ancestral spirits work through us. We call on spirits regularly. They say these spirits have their own personality, and these resurrected spirits work through us. Dan, there's some deep diabolical affliction with all these people that are part of this organization, but I think they've consented to the demons, so you're not going to see any. I mean, they live at peace. They live at harmony with these demons because they're calling them and they're aligning their will with them. So you're not going to see any type of, you know, manifestations because they're not willfully trying to expel these demons. They're actually calling them. Dan, is there some type of diabolical affliction with these three ladies?
Well, they're certainly being participating willfully and channeling, you know, giving absolute permissions to be used and by these various occultic forces and to bring about anarchy. I'm glad this is getting out there, that people are, this is not the only media that I've seen this on, and that people are starting to see the roots of this. This doesn't mean that there's not some legitimate concerns and there isn't a place for public square for discourse, debate, or even peaceful protest. But this is, you're looking at something radically different than that. And I'm glad that the word's getting out about this, because when you hear them in their own words talking about channeling spirits, libations, these other things, the interesting thing is even the words they use, you know, as we've talked about many times, that the things in the diabolic liturgical practices are often, if not always, a mockery of Christian worship. So, you know, where do we see libation in the Old Testament? It's part of Passover, Numbers 28:24. Libations being poured out, and remembrance in the context of, with the centrality of blood, has this, you know, a mockery of the Holy Eucharist, ancestral worship versus an invocation of the saints in the communion of saints, the sacramentals used, the material matter being used, similar to the sacramentals, the material matter of the sacraments themselves, or the sacramentals of crucifixes and other things. There's really, the commentary is embedded into their very words. There's not a whole lot you can say. They're proudly saying, "Look, we're occultists, we're witches, we're invoking dark forces, and this is who we are." And we see the power behind it. The Christian response needs to be a similar response. It needs to be prayer, sacraments, confession, penance, and praying to God to heal our society, and offering sacrifices and penances up, offering prayers up for our elected officials, that they not fall prey to these curses and other things.
Yeah, I can just, Dan, the way I envision it, I just see like two sides, you know, say like two ancient armies, and they're both just lobbing arrows at each other in the air. They're both throwing rocks, you know, coated with lava and fire at each other. Both sides are lobbying into the cosmos. Some are lobbying curses. And our side, we should be lobbying prayers because our weapons are more powerful. But again, right now, we only got about 8% of Catholics going to Holy Mass on Sunday. So our forces have been redacted, Dan, significantly. But here's something else that I found interesting, that these witches from BLM were talking about. They admit that their witchcraft comes from West Africa. This Protestant pastor was talking about some of the specifics of what they do. They admit that they're involved in divination, ancestral worship. Like you said, they even practice this anamnesis, this remember people have died. Many of these people were criminals and thugs. I mean, these people weren't Mother Teresa or John Paul II or Padre Pio. They, you know, and so they go out into the streets. And to me, they're performing some type of like paraliturgy with anti-sacramentals. They're saying, you know, we pour out a libation. They dress up also. If you look at some of the pictures, they dress up like high priestess. They have like robes and stuff.
Yeah, and liturgical. So, they have liturgical garments. Yeah.
Yes, they have liturgical garments. And so, Dan, this is way beyond. They've co-opted the term Black Lives Matter. And it's not a social justice movement. At the core, this is a spiritual movement. And I mean, some of the things that they said are just chilling. They say, we literally stand on spilled blood. And then they say they pour blood on the street where the black person died. And they pour this liquid to the gods of Africa.
Yeah.
All I can say is, Dan, this makes sense as to why there's so much violence in the street, is because they're not bringing peace and calm and tranquility. They're it's like a liquid blender. You know, you just put a bunch of fruit in there and milk and stuff, and they're just blending it all up. They're agitating a horrible situation of somebody getting killed, and they're agitating it by calling upon demons.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Today's second reading from the Office of Readings is from St. Cyprian. You mentioned St. Cyprian and Cornelius are the saints of the, you know, memorials for today. This is one of the things that he wrote. Living in very similar times, Christians in a pagan culture, we now find ourselves, 8% of Catholics now, as you've quoted, go to Mass. We're finding ourselves similarly in a pagan culture. And here's what Cyprian said. This is from 250 AD. He was the 21st or 22nd Pope at that time, pretty much, to be elected Pope meant your martyrdom. Here's what he wrote. Divine providence has now prepared us. God's merciful design has warned us that the day of our own struggle, our own contest, is at hand. But that shared love which binds us closely together, we are doing all we can to exhort our congregation to give ourselves unceasingly to fastings, vigils, and prayers in common. These are the heavenly weapons which give us strength to stand firm and endure. Mm. They are spiritual, are the spiritual defenses, the God-given armaments that protect us. So prayers in common, vigils, fasts, prayers in common, besides just the office of readings, praying in common as husband and wife or in your community, but also on a holy mass, our fasting, vigils. It's going to be prayer that's going to give us the armaments of the armaments that we need to fight a spiritual battle. So Christians need to stop wringing their hands and wondering what they should do and complaining about our culture, recognizing, wake up, that we're in a spiritual battle and we have to do everything we can to help be leaven. You know, as the Catechism says, Christians are leaven to the world. I think that's from Hippolytus, also a third century martyr of the church. Christians are leaven in society. We are to raise things up. Philosophically, Plato talked about two principles at work. One, eros, not in the erotic sense, like a dirty bookstore, but eros meaning love, a love which sprouts wings and raises up, right? And it's when Christians practice holy love, when Christians live as Christ lived and live the gospel fully, this philosophically, using the phrase from Plato, sprouts wings and we transcend both individually and as a culture towards the divine. Our steeples of our churches point high up in each neighborhood, pointing us as if pointing to the return of our Creator. But then the opposite of eros is thanatos. We get the word, that's the Greek word for death. Death is that principle that is just dragging us down, that's pulling culture, society down. And we see these two principles at work. This is 250 AD, a pope writing, saying that, look, prayers in common, vigils and fastings, this is what it's going to take. We have to pray both for our, you know, in and through and with our families. And then as a church, we have to really start praying to push back against the culture of death and the darkness that seems to be really unleashing in this country and all over the world. It's not just here. It's not unique to us.
Dan, you know, it's St. Francis of Assisi, almost 1,000 years, well, about 800 years ago. He saw what we're seeing on television right now with Black Lives Matter and the violence and the chaos. He walked into a city called Arezzo, Italy, And look at how similar what he saw in the 13th century, what we're seeing right now in our streets as a result of Black Lives Matter and the violence and anarchy that they're causing. So St. Francis of Assisi, he says the following. He says, Satan takes perverse pleasure in inciting people against one another and causing dissensions and divisions. St. Francis of Assisi went to the city of Arezzo, Italy one day. And this story was told by St. Bonaventure about St. Francis. So St. Bonaventure says about St. Francis, the city of Arezzo, Italy, it had long been subject to civil factions and was close to destroying itself. Francis could see demons dancing joyfully on the walls of the city, fueling a flame of hatred against the hearts of the people with one another. So Francis called Brother Sylvester, a man of dove-like simplicity, and commanded him, go to the gate of the city, there in the name of Almighty God, command the demons in virtue of holy obedience to leave immediately. Sylvester hurried to obey and cried out in a loud voice, quote, all you evil spirits gathered together in this place, I command you in the name of Almighty God and of his servant Francis, get out of here, close quote. No sooner had he uttered these words than the quarreling voices were stilled. The people's angry passions were calmed. Brother ceased to fight against brother, and peace was restored to the city. The pride and jealousy of the demonic spirits had threatened to ruin the city, but the wisdom of humble St. Francis saved it from destruction. Same thing's happening right now. Can you imagine, Dan? Demons all around, like a ring, around these cities, around Black Lives Matter. And then you have these witches dancing and doing this liturgical chanting. Can you imagine just the energy, the agitation of the demons? I would like to see, imagine every Catholic bishop and every Catholic priest projecting prayers specifically to stop this from their cathedral, from their churches. And even as Catholics, again, we have to be doing our part. We have to be doing, as they say in the Air Force, airstrikes. We've got to be praying and projecting our prayers out there, because this story of St. Francis, it shows the power of our prayer. Our prayers have the power to basically abolish and to do away with the curses, because our prayers are much more powerful. We'll continue with Dr. Dan Schneider. I want to get his comment on the efficacy, the power of prayer. How is it that we can merit more prayer? And how is it that you know that you're praying and God is listening to our prayer so that we can stop this anarchy and violence and nonsense? Jesus 911, we're talking about Black Lives Matter and their incantations. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Thank you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car. Two men that love the Lord, and God willing, in time and eternity, maybe the Lord may say, well done, my good and faithful servant, to both Dan and myself. That's what we're shooting for. Dan's got a PhD, I got a PhD in common sense, but we're both shooting for that ST before our name, before we drop dead. That's what we're shooting for, right, Dan? ST, St. Dan, St. Jess.
That's it. Absolutely. That's the whole goal.
Hey, Dan, talk a little bit about witchcraft in the Old Testament, the New Testament. I know in the Old Testament, it was such an egregious offense that there was a death penalty attached to witchcraft in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's still egregious. It's called mortal sin. And so Old and New Testament, witchcraft, I mean, in my take, it falls under the umbrella of Satan because it's an occultic system. Old Testament, again, you know, Exodus 22:18 says, "You shall not permit a sorceress to live." Leviticus 19:26, "You shall not practice augury or witchcraft." Augury means divination or to predict something. And the hallmark of witchcraft is basically, the Bible says, it's rebellion. Rebellion. And that's what we see right here, Dan. We see the open rebellion against patriarchy, because law enforcement and government is civil patriarchy, and witchcraft is open rebellion against patriarchy. And also in the Old Testament, sorcerers and witches also practiced human sacrifice. So, Dan, when we're looking at this, we're talking about some very evil underpinnings, correct?
Yeah. You're seeing, I mean, this is nothing new. It's just the boldness, you know, the people that would have been doing this stuff for a long time, Deuteronomy 18, 10, 11, and 12.
Well, share
talks
that.
About.
Can you read that, Dan? Can you read it, Dan?
Sure.
Break it down. Yeah, read it.
When you come into the land the Lord your God is giving you, you should not learn to imitate the abominations of the peoples there. Let there not be found among you anyone who emulates his son or daughter in the fire, human sacrifice, child sacrifice, nor a fortune teller, soothsayer, charmer, diviner, or caster of spells, nor one who consults ghosts and spirits or seeks oracles from the dead. Anyone who does such things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of such abominations, the Lord your God is driving these nations out of your way. You, however, must be altogether sincere towards the Lord your God. Though these nations you are to dispossess, listen to the soothsayers and fortune tellers. The Lord your God wants you to do so. And then he mentions the prophet like unto Moses is going to come back. So
that's Jesus.
So yeah, you're right. Exactly. Ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So So we see that from the beginning, even going into the promised land, you very simply say there's two teams, you know. Yeah. Thank goodness Big Ten football, I just heard, is back on. So now we have big clashes on Saturday, big on big. So there's really only two teams of good and teams of evil. And we got to find it's interesting that the dividing line is really no gray zone anymore. Mm-hmm. People are being drawn. Are we going to fully live out our Christian faith? Or are we going to move in this other direction? Often, and many, many times we've seen how if you're not infused with gospel values, if the love of God does not compel you to do your work in public service, it can become that the thirst for power can be so great, and the slaking of this kind of power can draw you away from God, away from the common good. And we see this, you know, this is where corruption comes in. And, you know, President Trump has talked about draining the swamp, and he's not just saying we don't want we're going to drain the swamp of all Democrats. The swamp is filled with people that are corrupt, and the only way as Christians we're going to fight it is through prayer. You know, look what they do. They invoke their mystical body. They do set prayers. They do sacramentals, liturgical things. This is why the liturgical response of the church needs to be there. Prayers from the mystical body, novenas, St. Michael Chaplet, attending Mass on a regular basis, staying in a state of grace. So these things are all very important for our weapons. This is nothing new. The only thing that's new in our particular time is how emboldened they are. 20 years ago, you wouldn't see this, as they wouldn't be as bold to be able to come out and say, yeah, we're witches and we're cursing police stations and we're the power source behind the rioters, you know, the anarchists that are out there.
Dan, this, I've heard the term mystical body of Satan, mystical body of the devil, just like there's a mystical body of Christ. I mean, I think there is a mystical body out there, witches, Satanists, terrorists, cartels, you know, they're all loosely connected. They all serve one master. And I like what our engineer Richard just said. He said, witchcraft in the New Testament, that's an eternal death penalty. Eternal. I like that. Yeah, an eternal death penalty. It's just like what that Sister Dee Dee said. She says, I'm not only pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life. That those of us that are in Team Jesus and Virgin Most Powerful, we're pro-eternal life. That's why we're pro-life. These witches from Black Lives Matter, these three witches that we see here, they're pro-death. And if they keep going down this path, they're going to be pro-eternal death. Dan, here's my take. And, go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong or just go ahead and make some comments. To me, witchcraft attracts people who want to be spiritual. So why? Because they're enamored by... You want to know the future? You want to lead others? You want to be a leader without submitting to God? To me, witchcraft is like spiritual prostitution, because a person wants to be spiritual, the person wants to be a spiritual warrior. They want to be a spiritual leader, but they don't want to do it under the authority of God. And so witchcraft is, to use a term that's very popular, it's a fake religion, which draws its power not from God, but from evil spirits, whether they know it or not. They may not think they're evil spirits. They may say, oh, no, it's Urushu from West Africa. It's Ofi from it. No, it's a demon. It's a demon. Okay? Does witchcraft, to me, it's spiritual prostitution. Somebody wants power and they want to be a spiritual leadership, but they want to do it playing by their own rules. Am I onto something?
Oh, well, sure. Look at in the New Testament, Simon the Magician, in the Acts of the Apostles. He saw the power of the Holy Spirit and he asked could he pay them, and they could give him this power. And this is why we have the sin of simony, the profiteering off of religious or spiritual ecclesial goods. Always this thirst for power, but true power comes through our union with Jesus Christ. The philosophers will tell you that man is homo religioso. He is a man is a religious being. We have an eternal soul, and it's only in encountering the eternity of God, the eternal God, that we begin to find fulfillment. So St. Augustine, in his famous words on this, I searched you in the fair forms, I searched you here and I searched you there. Our hearts are restless and they roam the earth, you know, restless until they find only rest in thee. We were created for heaven. We were created for eternity. And this is where the psalmist who says deep calls to deep. This is how we're recreated. And, you know, the devil mocks that. The devil appeals to that in our nature, this desire for encountering the other, to encounter the all-powerful God and to experience, you know, union with him. And so these are counterfeit consolations, and people unfortunately fall into them. This isn't to say, again, there's good intended people that want to bring about a more just society that's seeking the common good. All these things are principles that all Christians should be working towards. But the fruit, a tree is known by its fruit. And when you're destroying private property, shooting at law enforcement and at creating absolute anarchy and chaos. This is not, you know, these are not protesters. These are anarchists, and their activity is not, it's not social unrest as much as it is, it's criminal activity. And so we need to see it for what it is. And the public needs to really know what's going on. And as a Christian, how do we respond? One of the things in the, one of the vows that Benedictine monks make is what's called conversio or conversatio morum, meaning a conversation. Benedictines argue about what it really means, but my understanding of it is comes from Paul's letter, I think to the Galatians, says our citizenship is in heaven. So the Latin Vulgate, Jerome's Latin says our conversatio is in heaven. Conversatio isn't conversation. It's way of life. It's you could loosely get citizenship out of it. It's our possessions, et cetera. So our outlook, our view of the world, So our conversatio or our conversion of manners, more, mos more, these are the way we interact. So for the Benedictine, the monk, it means we live an otherworldly existence in the monastery, and they live it radically. But we're all called, at least some of us are called, to take the Benedict option, so to speak, and to live otherly in the world, to keep in mind that our citizenship is in heaven, and that we have to stay focused on the things of this world and do what we can to bring about a better and more just society. But at the same time, we have to constantly make sure that in thought, word, and deed, we are living as Christians and that we are growing in holiness. And this is the way that we're mostly going to attract the world to us, to protect our families, and to help convert our culture. It's going to come through this Benedictine motto, conversatio morum, a conversion of manners, of ways, living in this world, but not of the world. And I think that's what it's going to take, without retreating from the world, which is, you know, what a lot of us would like to do, but we can't.
Yeah, we don't have a choice. We have to press our backs up against the wall right now, Dan. We just got to go forward at this point. I mean, yeah. They want to throw us off the plank in the shark infested waters. We can't do that at this point. I mean, we got to do just like the Spaniard did. Remember, he was in the pit with all these other prisoners. They all put their backs to each other. And he said, we don't know what's coming out of those gates, but if we stick together, we may live. If we don't, we're going to die. That's what we have to do right now as Catholics. Put our backs together, and we got to face the adversity with faith and prayer. We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
Hands on apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary. It's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific, Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man car, Jesus 911, we're 10-8 for Jesus. Dr. Dan Schneider, Jesse Romero. By the way, Dan and me share a lot in common. Both of us were former pugilists. We're former boxers and stuff, so we just press forward. You know, we just put our hands up. But Dan and me put our hands up like this these days. Not like this. We put our hands up this way.
Yeah.
That's the way we put our... That's much more powerful than putting our hands up this way like we used to do many years ago. Dan, I want to just give you some consoling news. Over the weekend, I was in Irving, Texas, and I went to a Carmelite chapel to go to Holy Mass on Sunday. It was drop-dead beautiful. After Holy Mass, the cloistered Carmelites, they were, as the liberals will say, behind a cage. No, they're behind a grill fan, a grill, not a cage. You had about 25, 30 cloistered Carmelites after Holy Mass. They all started singing the St. Patrick breastplate prayer.
Wow.
And I asked the people that were there, I said, do they just do this like today? They go, oh, no, they've been doing this every Sunday. In fact, they do it every day at daily Mass. They've been doing it for the last couple of weeks. The same for everybody that's listening right now, especially you high information Catholics in the chat room, start praying. That's what I've added. Until the election, start praying St. Patrick breastplate prayer. That's a prayer that St. Patrick gave us against witches and sorcerers. Everybody right now, to starting today, add that to your prayer throughout the day sometime. And start doing it at that same time every day. Start praying against these witches that are cursing our president and our vice president and that are attached to Black Lives Matter. They're basically the gasoline for Black Lives Matter. We need more people, more Catholics, to be firing this prayer off every day. And notice the terminology I'm using. Yep, just project this into the air, man, and get into the battle. Dan, comments about the St. Patrick breastplate prayer?
Yeah. You and I are collaborating on a prayer book, repurposing and reformatting a bilingual prayer book for spiritual warfare prayers, and that's one of the ones that's in it. You know, we've got the deliverance prayers for use by the laity, which is a great one, which I highly recommend. But this one, I've got some Carmelite sisters double checking the Spanish, making sure it's correct before we republish it, and that's in there. The breastplate of St. Patrick is in this one as well. It's a very, you know, remember Patrick, when he brought Christianity to Ireland, you know, it was pagan, it was Druid. And so we're seeing a return, you know, again, I've said this before, to be post-Christian is to be neo-pagan, meaning, you know, even President Obama made the statement several years ago when he was president, the United States is no longer a Christian country. We are truly post-Christian now, and to be post-Christian is to be neo-pagan. It means we're seeing a resurgence of ancestral religions, native religions. So it's not surprising, like the BLM movement has been usurped, at least not even usurped. It's been founded on other pagan rituals and pagan religions. So yeah, so that is a great prayer to do. Another thing too, I just caught this word this morning. I had forgotten about it. It's a word, quarantine. This is again from Father John Harden's Modern Catholic Dictionary. If I say to you a quarantine of 7 weeks, you would say, "Oh no, not another 7 weeks having to wear the blessed mask." Right? This is the quarantine in Catholic theology. Okay, according to the ancient church, a rigorous fast of 40 days. It was an ecclesiastical penalty imposed by a confessor. Later on, it became to be applied to partial indulgences and meant that the amount of temporal punishment removed was equivalent to that remitted by the ancient canonical penalty. However, the term is no longer applied to indulgences, but it's a term that's embedded into ecclesial language. So when we think of even our own quarantine and each in our own way or suffering in some way through it, offering up these things, offering up our prayers, our solitude, if you can't get back to work or whatever, offering up, this is another Benedictine principle, pray and work, ora et labora. Work at your prayer, and when you're praying, you know, and when you're working, let it be part of your prayer so that others around you know this is a Christian person, this is a Christian man and a Christian woman. You know, so as we enter in more weeks of quarantine, who knows how long before this stuff gets lifted, we should enter into it prayerfully, not wringing our hands saying, happen, what's going to happen? But no, we step out. One more thing came to mind too on a break. This is from the martyrdom of Polycarp. He was a disciple of John the Apostle, and it says he entered the stadium for where he was going to. He was eventually thrown to the lions, I think. A voice came to Polycarp from heaven: "Be strong, call it Polycarp, and be a man." No one saw who had spoken, but those among our people who were there heard the voice. And so the proconsul asked Polycarp, if you're a Christian, he says, swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent and say, away with the atheists. But Polycarp looked up with a stern face at the entire crowd of lawless Gentiles in the stadium, and gesturing to them with his hand, he sighed, looked up to heaven and said, away with the atheists. You know. And then we get in the second reading of the Office of Readings that describes his death. It says, when he sent up the final amen and finished his prayer, the men in charge of the fire, they were going to immolate him in fire, as a great flame blazoned forth, we beheld a marvel. We to whom it was granted to see, who have also been to report the events to others. For the fire, taking on the appearance of a vaulted room like a boat's sail filled with the wind, formed a wall around the martyr's body, and he was in the center, not like burning flesh, but like baked bread or like gold and silver being refined in the furnace. And we perceived a particularly sweet aroma, like wafting incense or some precious perfume. Beautiful. We have to go back to the roots and return to the sources of the Christian faith and look at the early church, what they persecuted, because we're just cycling through some of these things again, calling the help of great martyrs. And what did he say? Be courageous. The Greek could be translated, be a man, be courageous. This is similar to St. Teresa of Avila, who told her sisters, be barbada, be bearded, right? Come back. Be so spiritually tough. You're like a soldier who's been on campaign for 3-4 years and he's got his beard grown out and he's rough and tumble and he can withstand the elements and he's not fragile and tender. This is Chris Kyle. This is the special forces guys that grow their beards out. Be a tough warrior for Christ. Be courageous. Be a man. Right. And this is what it takes. It's going to take that level. It's just going to take us living out our Christian faith every day. We've got to push back, and it's going to come through prayer.
Oh, by the way, and that includes females, because females in the body of Christ seem to be some of the toughest members that we have in the church. I mean, they seem to have more husk than men.
The Spanish word she used was barbada, you know, meaning be like a soldier, like a crusader, a warrior that's been out on the battlefield for a couple of years and his beard is out and scraggly and tough.
Dan, that's powerful. And she's not the only saint that's talked like that. I know Saint Faustina has also said similar words. She's actually called us, our Lord spoke to her, to Saint Faustina, in paragraph 1760, says, Jesus said to her, know that you're on a great stage where all heaven and earth are watching you. Fight like a knight so I can reward you. Do not be unduly fearful because you are not alone. St. Faustina's diary. Dan, I'll tell you something that makes me sad. I've talked to a lot of my black friends, and they've told me, you know, guys that are like our age, you know, they're saying a lot of the black culture has, well, it's happened just like in the Caucasian and the Hispanic. We've left Christ. The black churches are empty, Dan. When I was a kid, the black churches were full. They were singing gospel spirituals. People were going to their Sunday services in the black community, as a family, mom, dad, the kids. The black churches are empty, and so a vacuum's come in. And the vacuum's come in because Christ has been abandoned, by and large, by the young black culture. The young hip-hop, VH1, BET, black culture, they've abandoned Christ. And so what's come in? The occult. The occult, that vacuum came in. And I've heard this from a lot of black guys that say, Jess, when I was a kid, the church was full. My black church was full. Now it's empty. Everybody that's 40 and under is into witchcraft and everything else, into some other occultic practice. And only the people 40 and over are still attending our black services. And so they've taken a hit. And because you see a lot of these young anarchists in the street, they're young people. They've abandoned Christ.
Yeah. There's another book came out about 4 years ago. And it's called Hillbilly Elegy. It's not a Christian book by any means, but it's describing the same denigration of culture among Ohio. He describes his life in Southern Ohio, Kentucky, among rural white America, the denigration of family, the breakdown, the same thing is happening there. Drugs, violence, lawlessness, and it all stems from a breakdown of the family and a lack of religiosity in those communities. It's a pretty interesting book. I've read recently that he's converted to Catholicism. Very, very bright man. Ohio State University, and I think Duke. He went to Duke Law School. Very bright guy. It's a pretty good read. Again, secular book, but it describes the same thing. So it isn't just black culture. We're seeing the black culture denigration, but also. It's happening in all societies, in all cultures, you know, the commonality. This is why the church is called Catholicos. It's universal. It transcends cultures. It transcends everything. And what unites us is the blood of Christ. I guess I'm on a Benedictine kick today because I'm heading up to a monastery. But the Benedictine motto of peace, pax, the Latin word for pax, in traditional the representation in traditional Benedictine manners, it's the word pax, or over the P is a crown of thorns, signifying that the only true peace comes when uniting our suffering with the suffering of Jesus Christ. So if you really want true peace, whether it's peace in our culture, peace in our society, we must be united to our suffering Lord and offer up our sufferings to him and our prayers to him, our quarantines to him, so to speak, and to continue to pray and not sit back and wring our hands and what should we do? Engage. You know, Amen. Take Joshua's words to heart. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I think that's the best encouragement we can give, or what Polycarp heard from heaven. Be a man, be courageous, you know.
Amen.
Be strong in your faith.
Catholics, live in a state of grace, flee mortal sin, pray the rosary every single day. Start adding the St. Patrick's breastplate prayer, at least until the elections. Let's pray specifically against witchcraft by using that prayer to protect our church, to protect our president and these elections. And also, make sure you're living in a state of grace and pray the Auxilium Christianorum prayers. Dan, last comment?
No, pray worry. What is thank you for?
Amen. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands on Apologetics. See you next time. We're 10-7. We're out of service. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.